Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
You know, it's unfortunate that human beings invest their life into religious activities, and there's never any presence of Jesus with them. Man, what a waste of time. I mean, how many know the presence of the Lord is real? And I mean, it's here right now because it came out of you guys. You understand that? The presence of Jesus is real because it came out of you guys. You know, so many times we talk about, you know, coming into one place, you know, whether it's a church service or something like that. You know, we want God to come. We want Jesus to come. We want the Spirit of God to, you know, as some people say, we want the Holy Spirit to fall. But the reality of it is, and this is a New Testament reality, is the Spirit of God is in you. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, He put His nature in you. And He put His Spirit in you. And the biggest challenge that human beings have, the ones that declare Jesus as Lord, is they're so focused on everything around them that they get this mindset that Jesus is out there. That God is out there. That we need you to come into a service. If we can just sing the right songs, if we can just say the right words, if we can just go long enough, then we can get Holy Spirit here. And that's just the wrong concept. Because if you have His nature on the inside of you, you can release His presence anywhere you are. You know, I don't suggest driving your car with your eyes closed, but I mean, you know, even there, you can just begin to love on Him, minister to Him. That's one thing we don't know enough about, is knowing how to minister to Him. You know, so many times we'll sing a song in the next couple of weeks, you know, and some of the words in that song are, you know, we're waiting on You. But we're not waiting on Him like the general mindset is, you know, hurry up and come do something. Because really, the word waiting there really means to minister to. You know, why do you think you go to a restaurant and they call them waiters? They're not waiting on you to place an order. They're there to minister to you. You know, if you're in the food business and you happen to be one of those, quote, servers or waiters, then you're there to minister to the people that are in the coming to the restaurant. So when we talk about waiting on the Lord, we're not talking about, you know, well, come on, God. Anytime. We're talking about ministering to Him. And we need to understand that that's such a vital part of who we are as human beings. We were created to live connected to Him. We were created to live connected to Him. We were created to minister to Him. Not because He has an ego and He's like, come on, man, bring it on. Because He knows that when we do that, there's an exchange that takes place. We allow the presence of God. If you declare Jesus as Lord, then His presence is in you. His Spirit is in you, and He wants His Spirit to come out of you and come upon you. You know, folks have said, so, you know, why is there such a big difference between what we see in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in the New Testament? Why does that look so different than now? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because a religious system got a hold of the thing and twisted it all up. Put God way out there. Put us way down here. Never the two will ever meet. In fact, on a good day, He might like you. When the reality of it is, I mean, if we just read and don't let any kind of religious influence twist what we're reading, you'll find out that, man, Daddy's loved you from before the foundation of the world. Go over to Ephesians. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to touch on a few scriptures here. If you've heard this before, just smile and nod. I'll never know. Now, we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, he said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. And then he says in verse 3, he says, blessed, everybody say blessed.
Blessed
be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, somebody read that and say, well, what good does that do us here? Well, that's one of the things that religion has done a good job of twisting everything up. Because we haven't realized, and, you know, religion's put everything off in the sweet by and by. You know, we don't get it until later. But the challenge with that mindset is there's at least 10 scriptures. 10. If I had time, I'd give them to you. There's at least 10 scriptures in the New Testament that tell you that you as a human being, even though you have a flesh and bone, blood body, that the real you is a spirit. That's the real you. You're not just a mammal. You are a spirit. The real you is a spirit. And it's funny, too, because, you know, natural men, they'll only admit you're a spirit once somebody's dead. You notice that? They say, well, they went to a better place. Where? They're sitting right there. Well, they went to a better place. So they'll acknowledge once somebody's passed away that they're a spirit. But during their normal thought process on the planet when everybody's breathing, they don't think of themselves as being a spirit being. But yet in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him subdue, have dominion, and multiply. So man is a spirit. So before there was a flesh, blood, and bone body, in fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, just hold your place in Ephesians and go back over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, all of the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now this is a bad joke, but aren't you glad you have authority over creeps? You know, that's a bad preacher joke, so I just use it. Anyway, it says in verse 27, God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him male and female. Created he them, God blessed them. God blessed them, and God said to them. How many know if God blesses something, it's blessed? Right? So if God blessed human beings, and Jesus came into the earth to secure that blessing after it was sold, why are we still praying, God bless me, when Jesus secured it for you? It belongs to you. He said, he blessed him. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, rule over the fish. And then he says, and then God said, behold, I've given every plant yielding seed. But what you'll notice here is in chapter 2, see if I can find the verse here. In chapter 1, it says they created man in their image. Was there a body yet? Do you ever think about that? Where's the body? Because what's created in the image of God is the Spirit. Jesus said in John, I believe in John chapter 3, John chapter 4, he said, you know, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit. So he created man to live connected. The body was formed or created out of the dust of the ground in chapter 2. And it says in verse 4 of chapter 2, this is the account of the heavens and the earth, and when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. And now it talks about there wasn't any shrub in the field yet, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. And it says that in verse 10, there was a river that flowed out of Eden, and that watered the garden. And verse 12, it said there was gold in the land, and it was good. Verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to cultivate it. Now, before that time, there was no woman, right? But it says later on, it says that he took the man, and the man gave names to all the animals, and then it changes from calling him the man to calling him Adam. But in the Hebrew, that's the exact same Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is Adam. It just means man. It has to do with the ruddiness of his skin. And so he says he needed a helper. And so it says that man went to sleep, and he took out of the side of man, and he formed the woman. The woman was formed, the man's body was created out of the dust of the ground, but the woman's body was formed. He made something out of something. Excuse me, I didn't mean to step on your foot there. But their spirit was already created in chapter 1. And so go back over to Ephesians, and it says, you know, God blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And when did he do that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The real you is a spirit. You are a spirit. See, man was created to live spirit to spirit with the creator of the universe. That connection was severed when man decided to, well, basically, he came out from underneath the allegiance of the second member of the Godhead, Jesus, and then he sold himself to darkness. You remember when the devil in Matthew 4, he tempted Jesus, and he said, look, I'll tell you what, if you just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms, you see, because they were all given to me. You notice Jesus didn't say, now that's just not true. You know those belong to my daddy. He didn't say that. Because the reality was, God, in the beginning, he gave man everything in this natural arena. And so when he changed allegiance, everything followed him. And the whole creation was thrust into darkness. Everything got twisted. So then you notice in Genesis that everything started living less and less years, because they're severed from the life source of God. They're severed. And so Romans 5 talks about that death came in, or literally it made an appearance upon man after that point. When Jesus came, There was a lean that was against the human race, that darkness had put on the human race. We own them. Somebody's going to have to pay this lean before we let him go. And Jesus came in. You know, people talk about the cross. The cross is a. They say it's a. It It's an image of your sin. Bull. It's not an image of your sin. It's an image of your value to Daddy. You know, the world system's kind of taken crosses and made them into, you know, whatever, symbolizing death. But that's twisted. Because in Daddy's eyes, the cross is not something that's supposed to beat you down. The cross is supposed to tell you of your value in His sight. Jesus explained it like this. He said, a man came and he found a pearl of great price. Who was that pearl? The human race. He found a treasure. See, he's not talking about human beings in the concept of the way the religious system talks about human beings. The religious system talks about human beings that you're unworthy, you're no good. How many have heard this one? Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You just kind of feel bad after that. But that's not what Daddy says. Paul said, you know, hey, if Jesus was willing to come and die for a man that was considered unrighteous, how much more will you not reign with him now that you're righteous? He said in Romans, if Daddy gave you Jesus, how much more will he not give you everything else? Because as far as Daddy goes, man, you rock. You say, well, that doesn't sound like any message I ever heard. Well, you know what? That makes two of us. And I'm not railing organizations. We don't rail organizations. We don't rail churches. Folks, at some point, we will have a building also. We'll have buildings because we need to be able to get as many folks in one place at one time as possible. Buildings are not bad. They're not evil. This is just where we are for this season. So we're not coming against denominations. We're not coming against any of those things. These are mindsets that have creeped into people's thinking. Right? It's not an organization. It's not a tag. It's not a label. It's not any of that mess. It's just a mindset. It's mindsets. You know, Paul said we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, minds, demeanors that influence people's thought processes and get them to think certain ways. The awesome thing about this thing called the gospel is that if you strip away all the religious noise, everybody know what I mean when I say that? All the religious flavoring and all the perspectives that get sewn into how you understand a verse. If you strip all that mess away, the gospel is simply this. The human race was created in the image of God to live connected spirit to spirit. Because of the choice of one person, the human race and the entire system that it was in got thrust into the ownership of darkness and it twisted it. Jesus came, paid the lien that was against the human race. Isaiah 25 calls it the canopy of darkness that was over all men. He paid that note, and because he paid the note, 3 days, Daddy said, it's a done deal, man. And he raised up Jesus from the dead. And if you're over here in Ephesians, it says that when he raised him up, Ephesians chapter 1, It says in verse, you thought I forgot about Ephesians, didn't you? Ephesians chapter 1. It says in verse 18. Paul prays, he prays that we would know the surpassing greatness of his power to us, or literally the Greek New Testament says, into us who are believing according to the working of the strength of that power, which is no limits. And he says, he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. He raised up Jesus from the dead and he seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Okay, now most religious systems that are you know, at least say they're Christian, will acknowledge that. But don't stop reading there. It says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Now, let me ask you this. Does all mean all? Or is there maybe something that maybe is not included in this? So he raised him up, seated him at his right hand, far above all rule, all authority and power and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, what age? The age that we're in right now. But also in the one to come. Do you ever notice that religion only focuses on the one to come? Yeah. Everything's, when the age to come, that's when we get all our stuff, supposedly. But these two ages are tied together. Chapter 2, it says, I don't want to stop reading that. Let's just keep reading the end of the chapter. It says, he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who's that? That's you. Everybody say, that's me. That's you, which is the body, the fullness of him. Did you know that he sees you as the fullness of him? I'm going to tell you, most people's Christian experience is like a bad babysitter. Because you get this system, and they call them Christianity, but it's like a bad babysitter let's go even farther than that. It's like a bad step parent that basically comes in, gets rid of all your pictures, anything that would connect you to your real origin. Takes it all out of the house and burns it, never to be seen again. Erases every trace of who you really are, or tries to, and then begins to spew a bunch of mess to you about who your daddy really is. And it's just not so. That step-parent's been telling human beings for years that whenever something bad happens, that God did that. Well, if God really cared... Y'all heard something like that before? Well, if God really cared, he would have come. What is he supposed to do? Are you really expecting him to come off of the throne, come back out into the seen realm, show up on Oprah, and say, I'm here, and I'm going to make it all better? How do you expect him to How is he supposed to do something? See, that's the question that this bad step parent, they put these scenarios and they get you thinking. They get you thinking, surely if God was good, I mean, he wouldn't have allowed that whole thing over there in Connecticut. He wouldn't have had all those kids killed if he was really that good. How would he stop it? Who's the fullness of him? Who's the fullness of him? If darkness can sow speculation, then I'm going to sow some right now. I wonder if there was anyone, and I didn't intend on getting on this subject, but it's the most recent event that I can think of. So I wonder if there was anyone who was a Christian that the Spirit of God was trying to get their attention in their spirit. Because that's how he's going to do things, folks. He's going to do things spirit to spirit. The problem is, it's because our stepdad has told people that God doesn't talk to you anymore. He's way up there and you're way down here and never the two will ever meet. Then he gets blamed for all the junk. Because the system that the stepdad has told the kids that he's a non-resident dad. And that, you know, in fact, he does things just for the kick of it. He loves to mess with you and he loves to give you junk just to see how you'll take it. Give me a break. If we knew a natural human being who was a father who lived that way, would you stand back and say that's okay? Would you expect that's the way, that's, you know, so we have a higher esteem for natural human being fathers than we do for our daddy? People are so willing to think, well, you know, he doesn't care, he doesn't this, he doesn't that. When the reality of it is everything he's going to do through a human being, he's going to do it from his spirit to their spirit. Whether or not we're keying in on that, we're listening, we're paying attention. Because Jesus paid the price, took the lien that was off of humanity to reconnect the presence of man with the presence of God. So much so that, imagine this. Most people, when they come out of darkness and they come over into the kingdom of God, most people, the very first thing they're focused on is, I gotta be good, I gotta do right, I gotta be right, I gotta act right, I gotta serve. The system has told us that we're saved to serve, so get out there and work the field. Your daddy didn't say that. That's a bad taskmaster that said that. He's lying. Because daddy just wants you to come in the house. Spend time with me, man. I love you. Let me show you some things about the family, man. Let me show you what we're all about. You know, I put my spirit in you. Let me show you how to be led by the Spirit. Because when you learn how to be led by the Spirit, Romans 8 says you're the mature one. You're a mature one. He says, let's forget about you trying to get worthy and be worthy and do. Let's forget about that because my son did that for you already. So let's take that whole mess off the shelf, off the table. So forget about trying to be good. Because I love you. I can't love you anymore. I love you so much. I think you're awesome. So forget about that, okay? So now if you're not concerned about trying to please me because you already do, I love you. Okay, so now let's just learn how to live spirit to spirit and I'll teach you things. I'll teach you about my family. I'll teach you things about what I did before the foundation of the world. And if you'll hang with me and you'll learn how to get my downloads. You know, and you can just, you know, I want to live and move and have my being in you, but, you know, you're going to live and move and have your being in me, but I want to live and move and have my being in you. So let's just, from day one, let's just learn how to keep in step with each other. And if you see me do it, then do that. If you hear me say something, just say that. If I draw your attention to somebody and you don't really know why are you highlighting this person to me? Then just go over there and when you go over there, I'll tell you what to say. I'll show you what to do. Because I want them to know I love them. I want them to know that I think they're awesome. I want them to know that, you know, I saw them when they were in their bedroom. And they said some things to me. They want to know if I'm real. So I need you to convey this message to them. Folks, that is the gospel. No religious nothing. God so loved that he gave his son, paid the price, paid the lien, because he wanted to put the presence of man back fused together with the presence of God. And he wants, just like he told the shepherds, he said, I want people to know that I'm pleased. I love human beings. So he says in Ephesians, he said, he raised him up, seated him at his right hand. Everybody will admit that's good, but look at chapter 2. How many know these words, these they were not written in chapter and verse?
Right?
I mean, you know, the verse numbers are handy because, I mean, what if I tried to teach without the verse number? I'll just start reading some place and y'all just find it. But so in chapter 2 it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world or the system in the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And he said the Spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them you formerly lived and out of the lusts of your flesh or the pressures and desires of the natural man. And he says, but God, being rich in his mercy, or you could say in his loving kindness, because of his great love with which he loved us, when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive together with Christ. So when he raised Jesus from the dead, he raised the entire human race up with him. Where do you see Jesus? It wasn't a trick question. He seated him at his right hand, right, in the previous chapter. So if he raised up the human race with Jesus, where did he seat the rest of the human race?
Right hand.
I wonder if he values us. Can I be blunt with you? Well, let's just read it, and then I'll be blunt with you, okay? He made us alive together with Christ. He says, by grace you've been saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him. Where? Same place. Now I'll be blunt. If when you're all by yourself and you look in the mirror and the system has trained you in your thought processes to not value you, I know this is rocking people sideways because we've had hundreds and 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 hundreds of years of a system, a bad stepdad that has devalued you and told you that you're completely worthless in the eyes of daddy unless you do. But the reality of it is Jesus already did. It's done. If you look in the mirror and you have thought processes that go through your head that you don't value what you see, you need to arrest those thought processes and you need to tell them to go to hell. I knew that'd wake you up. Because that's just where they came from. Because go over to Ephesians chapter 5. There was so much more I wanted to teach this morning, but I, you know, it's always next week, right? Chapter 5, look at what it says here. It says, well, let's just tie this into it. Go to chapter 5, look at verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So there, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, this is what we're getting ready to read here is what the will of the Lord is. Okay? Everybody say, this is the will of the Lord. Now, is this the will of the Lord for some, or is this the will of the Lord for everybody? Okay. Remember how we talked about the reason Jesus did what he did is because he wanted to fuse the presence of man back with the presence of God, and so man was connected again? That's another way of saying this. Understand what the will of the Lord is. It says, you know, don't be drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. Everybody focuses on that, but what about the next part? But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. In fact, what the Greek New Testament, which is what the New Testament was written originally, what the Greek New Testament actually says here is being filled with the Spirit all the time as an ongoing, constant basis. Now, what does it mean to be filled? That just means that it has predominant influence. It's predominant influence. And the very first thing it mentions is speaking. The will of God for human beings is for them to be connected spirit to spirit and let that have the influence in what they say, their perspectives, everything. And so, you know, let's jump down to chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, be subject one to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives be subject to their husbands and everything." And then it says, husbands, verse 25, "Love your wives." Now let me ask you a question. Is any of this that we've just read, is any of that separate from the being filled with the Spirit all the time on an ongoing, constant basis? No. You imagine how screwed up things can get when Christians are taught to do this without the empowerment of being filled with the Spirit all the time. You know what happens? A whole lot of mess. Why do you think the divorce rate in Christians is about the same as it is in the world? Because they're both living in the same Spirit. They're living out of their own heads. Because the stepdad said, it's not possible for you to connect with God. He didn't talk to you anyway, so what's the point? Just read the Bible and learn verses and then live what you see. But you got to live it out of your Spirit, because He already gave you the nature to do it. He's just saying, live connected with me, and all the stuff you're reading, you read it because you want to change the way you think. You want to bring your mind in line with your Spirit, the nature of your Spirit, and so that your Spirit can have supremacy and your mind will submit to what Holy Spirit's doing in your Spirit. So he's saying the will of Daddy is to always on an ongoing, constant basis be filled with or be influenced by your Spirit, His Spirit, and your Spirit, and that should influence wives and husbands, husbands and wives. But then notice what he says here. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the, what? Do you know that word in the Greek New Testament is what he says? It's not the word like the word print word, it's the spoken word. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus filled with the Spirit? He's filled with the Spirit? All the time? Is there any time when he's not filled with the Spirit? And he said, and Paul said that the will of Daddy is for us to be filled with the Spirit all the time on an ongoing, constant basis, right? To the point where it influences our speaking. So the example here, Jesus loved the church. It says in verse 26 that he might set it apart. Having cleansed you, I changed the words a little bit, make it a little more personal. Having cleansed you, if he has cleansed you, then why are you trying to be clean? Well, Pastor, we're supposed to live clean. Right. Not out of your head. You want to try living clean out of your head? Guess what happens? Try, fail. Try, fail. Just go read what Paul said in Romans 7, before he was a new creation, how that works. He said, "Of the things that I want to do, I can't do. I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do." He's not talking to me. He's not speaking as a Christian. He's speaking as a Jewish religious guy, living under a system of print that said, do this, be this, don't do this, and don't be that. So the best he could do was grab onto it with his head and live it in his outward man, his thinking and all that. And he said, the only thing that did to me is cause me to be frustrated because it was a try, fail. Give me a break. Who's going to set me free from this cycle? So in Ephesians 5, if the will of Daddy is now that if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and He put His nature in you and His Spirit in you and He connected your presence with His presence once again and He's already made you righteous and clean, this verse says He already sees you clean. In fact, it says here that He set you apart and cleansed you by the washing of water by what He says about you. Is He filled with the Spirit? Yes. So if filled with the Spirit, look what he says. What does he say? What does he say about you? He says, so that he says, he's cleansed you by the washing of water by what he says, so that he might present to you, to himself, that he might present you in his presence in all your glory, having, what's it say? No spot and no wrinkle or any such thing. I ask you again, is Jesus filled with the Spirit all the time? So if being filled with the Spirit, he says this about you. And Daddy says the will of Daddy is for you to be filled with the Spirit on an ongoing, constant basis. Jesus is your example. If he says this about you, then why do you allow anything in your head to say anything different? The biggest challenge with Christians is the reason they can't seem to get off home plate. They can't seem to get around the bases. They can't seem to live the life that they know is available as a Christian. They can't seem to do it is because they're still stuck trying to do what Jesus already says you are. And if we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit, notice what he says here. Let's just keep on reading. I'm done here in a minute. He says this, because of what he says about you, he presents you to himself, a church in all your glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that you be holy and blameless. He says you're holy and blameless. Why? He paid the lien. When was the last time a human being out there on the street, you know, Joe, natural man Joe, when was the last time somebody who was a believer, a Christian, came up to him and said, you know what? I just want to tell you this, man. God thinks you're totally awesome. You know, I told it to a homeless guy last night. You know how homeless guys are, you know, they don't feel good about them and the system has told them they're pretty much worthless. This guy's about this big. And he just was looking for a place to live for a week. And I told him, I said, we got him some money for the bus and get downtown to the homeless shelter. Him and his wife. And I told him, I said, look, I want you to know something. I want you to know that Jesus thinks you're awesome. He thinks you're totally amazing. And when I said those words, his eyes lit up. Because nobody's told him that before. And yet that's what Jesus says about him all day long. But he never hears it. You understand how damnable it is for us as new creations to be daddy's kids and allow that stupid, bad stepdad to be spewing garbage into your head. It's shutting down the flow of the presence of Jesus through your life because you're spending so much time trying to be something that Jesus is already saying on an ongoing, constant basis, this is who you are. Just live there, man. He likens it to a husband loving his own body. Now, I know there are religious systems. Look, I'm putting it down. That means I'm done. I know there's religious systems that you know, they beat themselves and they do all kind of junk trying to be holy. Do you honestly think that if Those human beings on this planet that have had the revelation that Jesus really is who he says he is, and he really did do what he said he did, and he really has lifted me out of the trash can and put me on the throne with him, if he really has done that, and he really does see me holy and blameless. Incidentally, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 goes on to say that Daddy made a decision before the foundation of the world, before you were ever in existence, before there ever was a human being. He made the decision, we're going to make man, and I'm going to see man in my presence. He's going to be completely holy and blameless. Why do you think Jesus says that about you? Because that's what is. Because you're not, you are not your mind. You are not your body. You are who you are in your spirit. And if you declare Jesus is Lord, then nothing else in this system in the world can be Lord over you. He gave you his very same nature. Jesus is not a masochist. He's not beating himself. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? If you're his body, he's not sitting there bad-mouthing you. That's why Paul said, look, husbands, love your wives like you love your own bodies. How are we going to be effective in ministering the life that is Jesus to human beings that don't know what he did? You got to get off the unworthy bandwagon, dude. You're wasting your life. Because your daddy and your brother already say, man, you're, I don't know what that even means. I was going to say the bee's knees. I don't know what that means. Anyway, he thinks you're awesome. He says it right in the print. We're not going to be spiritually illiterate, are we? So then let's just focus on loving daddy. Man, we love daddy this morning, man. It was so awesome. How much better is life? Just love daddy. You know, and if we need to make adjustments, you know what? We just make adjustments when we spend time with him. He'll show you when you're messing up on something, or you're off base on something, or you need to adjust something. He'll show you all that. But he doesn't show it all to you and then go, wham! He shows it to you in private, and so, you know, but it's always because it's always in the setting of love. Now, I taught a couple weeks ago about the power of the love of God. If you haven't got that message, you need to get that message. You can download it straight from our internet site. This is a shameless plug, isn't it? By the way, we have a new internet site, and all the messages are there. You can just download it for nothing. But in the environment of his love, that environment's not pointing out all your bad stuff. That environment's trying to show you who he thinks you are already. And he says, now this is who you are. Now this is how you're acting. Okay, so here's what we need to do. Change this and change that thought process, and this is what you should be really thinking. And so then he brings you over under, and then you make these adjustments, and then you're right where you're supposed to be. And every time you make an adjustment, you're getting closer and closer in what you're living out as to who you really are. He's never going to change what he says about you. But he just wants, you know, spend time with me and let me show you this and let me show you this, and you know, oh, by the way, you know that perspective there, you know, that's not accurate. This is the way you ought to be seeing things. So just make that adjustment. And so you make that adjustment. And every time you make that adjustment in your private time, he's bringing you closer and closer into who you really are. And to the place where, see, now your mind's thinking straight. And you can just walk out he's already been saying this about you. This is who you are. The difference between who he says you are and what you're experiencing and what you're walking out in your life right now is only a number of adjustments that you'll make just because you spend time with him. Spend time in his word. Stop being sidetracked mentally as far as whether you think you're pleasing him or not, because he already says you are. Just love on him. The reciprocating effect of that is he loves on you. He reinforces who he says you are. And then he gets you to make adjustments here and there, and that's called walking as a believer. No condemnation. No feeling guilty. That's got to be the most unproductive ever life. Always feeling condemned and unworthy. Because you see, everything that you're thinking that's contrary to what he's saying to you is muddy in the waters, and you're not going to see yourself or other people accurately. He needs you to see accurately. That's why he says, you know, be led by my spirit in your spirit so that you won't facilitate or give way to the desires of the natural man. And if you don't do that, see, then you won't act like it. You won't get in a spirit stupid. You won't see people inaccurately. Next week I'm going to tell you, we're going to show you what the peace of God really is. In Ephesians, he talks about the peace of God, but he doesn't link it to the things that, it's amazing. We take that verse out and we talk about, you know, let the peace of God rule in your, we took it out of context and we talk about it being the peace of God, let the peace of God rule, but you got to put it back in the context because it's in the context of how you see everybody else. I said I was done, so I won't go into that. Did you guys get anything else out of this at all? Everybody stand up. Your best you is in that book, New Testament. Read Ephesians, Colossians, read 1 John. 1 John messes people up because they let that bad stepdad tell them what it says and it's wrong. So then they're all whacked out and they're thinking, they don't think right. Let me just tell you this and I'm done. I really am done, but. Okay, look. The reason we have that book is because the Spirit of God wants to get in you and show you and give you revelation. The revelation that He shows you from Scripture is designed to bring you into an encounter with the person of Jesus. It's not there for us to all sit around and talk about our great revelation that we got and this and this and this and this. Because what that'll do is just cause us to be more religious. We don't want to be more religious. Everything that the Spirit of God reveals to us in His Word is designed to bring us into an encounter with the person. Because in that connection, it's how you live free. You live free out of your head. You live free out of your emotions. You live free from the expectations of everybody else. You live free. Paul said this. He said, I am free from all men. Why? Because the gospel is about reconnecting you to the person. Bringing you into an encounter with the person of Jesus, and you stay there. Jesus said, whom I have set free, they are truly, truly free. But it's not in print. It's not in trying to be something. It's not in trying to execute a scripture. The revelation of any scripture in that book is designed to bring you into an encounter with Jesus. That connection causes you to live free from anything this system in the world tries to heave on you on a daily basis. To try to get you to be what He says you already are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just love You and I praise You and I thank You for these people. I thank You for Your Word and I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for Your presence that's in this place. Father, just cause Your presence to rest upon everybody in this room. We love Your presence. My prayer is that You'll open the eyes of their understanding so that they know and see who they are in Your sight. So that they can experience and encounter Your person. So that we can take Your person everywhere we go and let it out on somebody else. Because You have so much to say. You have so much love to pour out and drown people with. We just want to get out of the way. And we renounce that bad stepfather. That religious system that told us we were something else. you're a lying scumbag. We don't listen to you anymore. You got nothing in us. Because we love Daddy. And we love Jesus. And we're going to listen to what he says because he's full of the Spirit. You're just full of something else. Everybody agree with that first sin.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.